There's my wife back here. I need to make a correction before we start. Last week, I mentioned that my wife cries and comes home from choir practice crying. She comes home because she's so moved from the worship. And aren't they great? Fabulous. And I have to tell a story with Maurice here. This is fascinating to me, how God moves. Vicki and I started visiting here last summer, right about when you came, Mark. And this is at the end of July. And September, we fill out a visitor card. And in September, there's a knock on my door. And I never thought about it being Monday night, not for 2 seconds, and visitation. And a gentleman knocked on my door, and I welcomed him in. He says, "Can I come in?" And I said, "Absolutely." And it was Maurice Mosley. And it didn't click right away, but it didn't take long for me to make the connection. Maurice's grandson, Maurice and Billy's grandson, was in our church, and his wife was on staff years ago. This goes back 8, 9, 10 years ago, and we sent them out later on to start Allen Bible Church up here in Allen. And all of a sudden, it hits this connection. I said, "You're Brian's grandfather." So I really felt it was providential that how we met. God used that to just keep leading us here to Hunter's Glen Baptist Church, and we're really glad. So let's launch in. You should have a handout. If you don't, please get up and get one. It's lengthy. It's 5 pages tonight. We won't get it covered altogether, I don't think. I don't have my email anywhere. It's hal@finishingwellministries. If you have any thoughts, any comments, any questions, whatever, as we go. Before we launch in, I want to read a verse that I came across just in my own personal devotions this weekend. It's Job 12:12. "Wisdom is with aged men and women. With long life is understanding." Reminds me of what our ministry is: maximizing the spiritual impact of retiring boomers and seniors for the church and the kingdom of God. Tonight, I want to talk about family. Last week, we talked about continuing to dream. You remember Paul said in Philippians 3, "Not that I've already obtained it, but I press on." You know, the word "press" here, the Greek word, really has a negative connotation. It means to be pursued if you're being persecuted. You're a persecutor, so you're pursuing people that you're trying to get rid of. This case is one of the few cases in the New Testament where this word is flipped around and used positively. So imagine pursuing somebody to persecute them, to get rid of them. You're flipping around and you are pursuing God. You are pressing. You press so that you may lay hold of that. Down the bottom, "I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's our ministry. That's what we talked about last night. Tonight, everybody's part of a family in some way. Most of us have kids, growing kids. Next week, I want to talk about the wisdom of your life and career. Number four, I want to talk about how we all fit into the local church, Hunter's Glen. And number five, leave a legacy and how not to get derailed from finishing well. So let's launch in tonight, finishing well in marriage and family. I want to say there's nothing more important in life. To finish well in your marriage, to finish well in your family, and to keep finishing. It's central. Remember Robert Browning's poem, which we talked about last week, "Grow old along with me." Say that next line with me: "The best is yet to be." Apply it to your family. "The laughs of life for which the first was made, our times are in his hands. Who saith a whole I plan, you shows but half." You know, we have a first half and a second half. We're in the second half, maybe halfway through the second half, I don't know. But that's what we're on, and the best is yet to come, and I want to talk about that with respect to family. Our key verses, and I would encourage you to memorize these. "O Lord, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, O Lord, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation. Watch, there's three generations involved here, I believe. This generation is us right here in this room. So are we talking about the power of God in our own lives, in our daily conversations? Is that, do we traffic in that conversation? Until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to all who are come. That's your adult kids and your grandkids. Do you have an ongoing conversation about the power of God in your life together as a husband and wife? And is it growing? If you're younger here, I mean, develop the habit patterns of conversing about what God is doing in your marriage, sharing life together, sharing what God does, the victories, the defeats, sharing them at a heart level and continuing to grow. And you do the same thing with your kids. You know, our kids are 38, 37, and 34, different kinds of conversations when they were 9, 7, and 4 around the table. But the same thing goes. I want to have the same kind of relationship. God expects us, calls us to have the same kind of relationship with our grown kids and our grandkids. And we're talking about him all the time. Those are our key verses. That's the way you finish well, to keep doing what God calls you to do today. Psalm 75, that these verses are there. He established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children. Parents have a teaching process, not just when your kids are little around the dinner table, the breakfast table, but when they're older and having their own families, that the generation to come, that is your grandkids and your great-grandkids, might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children that they should put their confidence in God. The best thing a parent gives his kids, regardless of how old they are, is a God confidence. Our kids had breakfast with my son early this morning. You know, the best gift he's 34, the best gift I can give him is being a dad who keeps trusting God, and he knows it, and I share it with him. We talk about it. It's impactful to keep your eyes riveted on people around you who are walking with God and encouraging you to keep growing. That's our mission as parents. How do you do it with your adult kids? That's the topic of tonight. Are you doing it? How can we encourage each other? That those grown adults, our kids, may arise and tell them to their children, that is our grandchildren, that they may put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, not forget what God has done. We'll talk more about that tonight. You remember, this is the sigmoid curve. This is an illustration to me of spiritual growth. This is a learning curve in life. And one of the things we got to do is keep changing. And our kids make us change. We don't parent the same way we did when our kids were first born. I mean, you don't treat everybody like an infant. You know, they start to grow and you relate differently. Now we're relating, hopefully, as adults. So every time life changes, I've got to flex with it and learn something new. It's like Howard Hendricks always used to say, God doesn't give you kids for what you can teach them, but for what they'll teach you. So the question is, are you and I still learning all the time about the newness of life? Remember Heraclitus, I think it was, it says, you never step into the same river twice. You don't fish in the same river twice. The river's different, you're different. So that's this growing part. And every time life changes, you and I have to keep growing. That's called spiritual growth. There are new things that happen. You remember the chart we put up, just a little review. You know, we're all kind of set in life. And then kids come into our world and everything changes. Schedules change. They change. They change us. We're disoriented sometimes. Our second daughter has a new little guy. I think I mentioned him, Rhett. And he's kind of thrown their whole family system into chaos for a while. So they're disoriented in a new orientation. And you, something familiar, you get used to it, and then all of a sudden a disturbance happens, and you got to reach a new comfort zone. That's called spiritual growth. I am walking with the Spirit, always growing, always changing, always being conformed more and more and more to the image of Christ. It's Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we are God's brothers and Jesus' younger brothers and sisters, growing up with him in the parenting process of our families, our adult kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, and all those around us. And you have a lot of surrogate families in the church. So we're always changing, always growing to be like Christ. You with me? God leads us to change because our kids are always changing. They're always growing. That's what I think Moses meant in Psalm 90, verse 12, when he said, so teach us to measure, evaluate our days, not only as they grow less. I have fewer days left than I had a decade ago. I mean, my life is well more than half lived, perhaps two-thirds. So teach me to evaluate the last third of my life, God willing, so that I, in my living, will present a heart of wisdom as all these changes keep happening. I don't want to get stuck, and I don't want you to, and you don't want either. You want to keep growing. It's the best thing about our lives. The best thing about us is that we're growing as hard as we can every day, every week, in following Jesus. Follow me, and Jesus is going to lead us, right? Okay, I went over these five. I'll do this real quickly. Five things that are assigned to families. We need to be patriarchs and matriarchs who will lead the way and call our families to trust God. It is through our own witness that we nurture others. That's the number one principle. Number two, we are here to steward a vision for God from one generation to the next. The best thing we as parents can do is give a God vision. What's God's vision for our own life, and are we following it? Challenged my son this morning. You know, you're setting the course for your life. What's it going to be? What's my vision going to be? Will I leave a vision for God in my son's life? Number three, we live to prepare future generations for a time they cannot see. I love that. You and I have no idea what the world will be like when our grandkids reach a certain age or our great-grandkids. But hopefully we're establishing patterns for them which will take them the same road that we have in trusting Christ. We will press to fuel future generations with a passion for the character of God and the truth of Scripture. They're the two best things we as parents can establish. By the way, they're the two best things you can establish in your own life. Do you illustrate or do you personify a passion for God, and do you have a deep, abiding confidence in the Scripture? I remember when I started our ministry down in First Baptist Church, 1976, I was called to teach a doctor's Sunday school class, and I was scared out of my wits. You know, I was a country boy, country farm boy from Hershey, Pennsylvania. So I come to Dallas Seminary and get involved in this doctor's Sunday school class. And they asked me if I would teach the class. I was a junior in seminary, and I said, no way. I'm not going to teach a group of doctors who are highly educated, et cetera, et cetera. Well, one of the physicians in the class said, well, Hal, as long as it takes for us to wait, for you to say yes, we're going to wait. And I memorized two verses that have been my anchor verses ever since. 2 Corinthians 3:4-5, where Paul says, in such confidence we have through Christ towards God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. So we want to live with a deep God confidence. I don't know what you're facing in your family right now, but whatever it is, I want to live with a deep God confidence, and I want to live with a deep trust in the Scripture, knowing that God is with me, he'll never forsake me, he goes ahead of me, he'll be with my kids, he'll be with me, he'll be with Vic and me, whatever it is. Those are the best things we can do. So are we doing that? As parents and grandparents, we pray for the generations to come. We pray for our grandkids and our great-grandkids. We pray for the generations that we will not see. And by the way, it won't be long before we'll disappear. Life goes fast. The older you get, the faster it goes. You know, and we have our time, and God wants to use us, but let's press on. Okay, now I want to talk about adult children. All this just kind of a review and introduction to tonight. How do you live with adult children? I want you to help me in this process tonight. I'll get us started a little bit, but I want you to help us. You know, there's an adage, it's more caught than taught. Your children watch you all the time. They know, I used the illustration, I think, last week of my dog. And my son mimics the way he talked to the dog the same way I did. And I said, well, Jonathan, why do you talk to the dog so gruffly? He said, well, Dad, you do. Sit down. Lay down. Don't get up in the table, whatever. Stay off the sofa. You know, go on and on and on. So our kids are watching us all the time. Okay, now they're grown. You guys are younger over here. You're not living in your parents' house anymore. I don't know where your parents live, but you know, you guys are all grown. We're all grown up. My kids are grown up, so I don't see them as much. I have one who lives in California. The other two live here. I don't see them as much. Your kids are, we got one in Dallas and the other one at home. They're both here. I don't know where your kids are, but how do you communicate with them? Well, let's go down our list here. Let's talk about it. It's important to communicate. How are you going to show your kids to have a God confidence and a great trust, a deep confidence in the scripture, if you're not exposed to them? If they live somewhere else, even if they live here in town. Our daughter lives 10 minutes from our house. How often do I talk to her? I don't talk to her every day. But I have a mission to reflect a God confidence to her and a confidence in the scriptures. Well, how am I going to do it? How are you going to do it? Well, communication comes in words, phone calls, emails, text, written notes. How many of you write notes to your grown kids? A few hands? Come on, stick them up. You call. Do you talk about spiritual things on the phone? Well, maybe sometime, but generally we don't, unless there is an issue that comes up and we have a conversation. But as a parent, I am deliberately setting a pace, looking for ways to get inside my kids' heads as adults. I want to know what their issues are. Let me give you an assignment. If you just took your pen and scribbled, I don't mind if you take notes. Do something else while I'm speaking here. Just take your kids and write down what are their five greatest needs. On another list, say, what are the five things they're struggling with today? And you know this because you know them and you know who they are and what life is all about. If you had to write down what are their five goals, what would you say? Where are they at spiritually? What would they like from you in terms of their spiritual needs and what they would like to see for out of their mom and dad? Do you communicate that to them? Face-to-face conversations. You know, that's what discipleship is all about. I can imagine the 12 following Jesus for 3 years. Can you imagine the thousands and thousands of conversations they had those 3 years? As they watched Jesus, as they watched him heal, as they listened to him, as they scoured all over Israel. Can you imagine their conversations? They were face-to-face. How many times... You know, I used to say one of the things I loved about communion. I would illustrate this. Communion is when you partake of the Lord's Supper. I think it's like God taking your face in his hands and saying to you how much I love you. I love to do that with my kids. I used to do it little. I'd take put their face in my hands, and I'd look. I'd get 6 inches away from them. I'd say, you know how much your dad loves you. Well, let me ask you, how many times have you done that with your adult kids? Do you get up close to them and put their face in your hands and say, Jennifer, Bethany, and my son-in-laws, I'm a little bit hesitant to get in their face like that. But do you know how much I love you? Face-to-face conversation. How much do you sit and listen to your kids? Just tell me what life is about. Tell me what's happening in your life. What are you wrestling with? What keeps you awake at night? What do you think about how you're doing as a parent as your kids are growing? Are you comfortable with that? You feel like you're doing good? You feel like you have room to grow? all kinds of conversations going back and forth. How often do you encourage your adult kids? You can encourage them by sending them notes. You can encourage them by sending them text. You can encourage them when you're with them, just to encourage them and bless them. Say, I think you're doing an awesome job as a parent. You guys are doing great in your marriage. You're doing really well in disciplining your kids. I love the way you love life. I have our oldest daughter. You'll hear a little bit about my family as this goes. They live in Northern California, where Christian and evangelical churches are few and far between. And you know what my kids do really well out there? They have more non-Christian friends than I could shake a stick at. You know, I say, Mark and Jennifer, I can't believe you guys have all these non-Christian friends. I don't know what God's going to do through your life as you live there with them. And they're good friends. They do a lot of things together. So I praise them for their ability to intersect with all kinds of pagans around them in Healdsburg, California. It's awesome to me. So do you praise them? Do you know who they are, their giftedness, their strengths and weaknesses? Do you think about that? Do you pray for them? You know, all of us have weaknesses. My wife lives with my downside. She's perfect, so I don't live with any downside on her. But, you know, what about your kids? How do they deal with life? What are the weaknesses that they carry with them, and how do they process all of that? Now, does this jog anything in your mind? I'm just talking about your grown kids. Mine are whatever age there are. If you're older than me, your kids are older than mine. But how do you relate to your grown kids? Any thoughts or comments? Y'all have them, don't you? Well, we keep going. What about praying? How do you pray for your grown kids? Now, you're praying with this information. You know who they are. You know what their weaknesses are. You know what their challenges are, because you invest your life in them. One of the things, my mother died 2 years ago. She was 96. One of the things I did every Sunday morning before I preached, I would always call my mother. Every week, just like clockwork. I talked to her two or three times a week. But every Sunday morning, I would call her. She wanted to know what I was preaching on, what we're doing is in church, et cetera, et cetera. And she would pray for me on the phone. My dad died in 1970. I was just a college senior. But to this day, I really believe whatever success God has blessed Vicki and me with comes from our parents who prayed for us incessantly down through the years. And my mother didn't stop just because I got out of the house and was gone. I know she prayed for me relentlessly. Do you pray for your kids by name? Do you pray through the issues of their lives and what's happening and what God wants to do in them? I hope you do. I hope you pray with your spouse as a husband and wife. Pray by yourself. I mean, you can have a long list. If you listed out all these things here about what you know about your kids, I think about this in terms of prayer. Job 1:5. I'm sure you've read this verse. When the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Think about this. He offered sacrifices on behalf of all his kids, and he had a lot of kids. He had a lot of daughter-in-laws and sons-in-laws. He had a lot of grandkids. I don't know how much time he spent. For Job said, "Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Do any of you have kids that you thought might have done that? Do you offer sacrifices for them? Do you pray for them? Do you process this again and again and again? Thus, Job did, what's the word? Continually. I don't know if he did it daily, but he did it again and again and again and again. He had a habit pattern of praying for his adult kids and their families, interceding before God. I don't know how long you have to pray. I have a younger brother I'm 67. He's 3 years younger than me. He's 64. He's a physician who lives in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He has jettisoned his faith. He couldn't care two whits about anything spiritual. He will not have any conversations with me. We have a great friendship. I mean, because he's my brother and I enjoy life and we build bridges with each other. Interesting, my mother lives right next to Lancaster, so this son of hers, my brother, was the one who cared for her during the last 5-6 years. He was her physician. They could not talk about anything spiritual because he would not talk to my mother about any spiritual stuff. You know, I think my mother prayed more for him, even though she never could have any conversations with him about spiritual things. She prayed for him, and I think it will be my mother's prayers that inevitably, as God reaches his heart, that'll turn him back to faith. So, if your grown kids are away spiritually, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to pray, and you're going to covet before God to keep interceding on behalf of them for his purposes in their life, just like Job did. You can take projects and trips with your kids. They're on the list. I've done this with a couple of my kids. Take them. We went on a family mission trip years ago. We went to Mexico. All five of us stayed in a little room, smaller than, had two beds in it. We slept on the floor, and it was one of the best experiences we've ever done as a family. You know, projects and trips. I have one, my oldest daughter, I never did anything with her. And she says to me this day, she's 38 years old, she says, Dad, when are you going to do something with me? When are you going to take me on a mission trip? Let me tell you, I took my second daughter, she and I went to Poland years ago. And, you know, how much conversation will you have building into each other's lives on a 12 or a 2-week mission trip? How much will you talk about during those days in building connections? And Bethany and I still go back to that trip on many, many occasions, visiting what God did in our lives on that trip as a dad and a daughter. Fun. You know, what are the best memories you have as a family? There are times when you laugh together. Wisdom. When do you share wisdom? You don't just back up to your kids in like a dump truck and dump all your wisdom on them. You got to look for opportune times. When does God open a door to share with them? Are you looking for that? You know, you look for opportunities to get inroads into people's lives. You're always there. You're always available. Blessing. Blessing your kids. When's the last time you blessed your kids? And just praise them and said how proud you are with them. Or put your hand on their shoulder. You know, I did that this morning with my son, actually, at breakfast. We were in McDonald's. I like to get around different places, and McDonald's is the least expensive place, isn't it? But they have a decent... We finished our conversation. I just grabbed his hand. I said, Jonathan, I want to pray for you and bless you today. I don't know where you're going to go, what you're going to meet, what you're going to say, the challenges that come to your life, but I want to bless you. Wouldn't it be great to start every day, call your kids and say, hey, I want to bless you. Or every time you talk to them, say, I want to bless you today before you hang up the phone. Can I say a quick prayer for you? God, help Bethany today and help bless her today. Do you do that? I think that's what Jesus wants us to do, to intercede on behalf of our kids. Entering into hardships. Let me take a little poll here. Let's stop for a minute. What kind of hardships do people face with adult kids and or grandkids? Loss of jobs. Illness. The death of a spouse. A mother-in-law living with them. Death of a child. Divorce. Brokenness of all kinds. A child living with you. Yeah, I mean, they're right there all the time. And how do you relate to that? I mean, besides you want them to grow up and get out. But, yeah, they're there. How do you leverage that? What else? Addictions of all sorts today. What else? They won't grow up. You know, That's off the truth today. People are marrying later today, millennials. I mean, everything happens at a later pace. And you want to say, come on, get with it. What are you doing? What else?
We do have a lot of grown children moving back in.
Grown children moving back in. Grandparents raising grandkids. They move in and you're rearing your second family. Yes. Well, you were good. How do you watch people change and look for opportunity and change with them so that you know when to open your mouth, when to close it, what kinds of questions to ask, how to listen, all those kinds of things. Very powerful issues. By the way, I think the best thing any parent can do, any parent at any age, is to listen. You know, we're so quick, I'm so quick, you know. I want to fix all my wife's problems. Any other men have those kind of problems? As opposed to listening. Vicky says, I don't want you to fix me. Just listen to me. You know, and our kids would say the same thing. Just listen to me, Dad. But I've got too much information I want to give them. I want to fix their lives. But will you listen? Do you ask questions that get information? And by the way, this is true for younger parents with younger kids. I mean, how do you get inside your kids' heads? How do you know what they fear? We talked about this. we have two grandsons who live in California. They both changed schools. Vicky and I happened to be there the week they were starting this new school. One was going into third grade. The other was going into, fourth and first, second? Anyways, Jake and Pearson, so I sit down and say, Jake, what are you afraid of when you go to school? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? It was interesting what came out, just to listen to them. Jake or Pierce, what are you thinking about? You start a new school. What are you going to do with your friends? Do you know anybody? No, Papa. Do you think you'll make new friends? Well, I hope so. Does it make you a little bit afraid? Yeah, it does make me afraid. I mean, you're processing life with these kids, entering into hardships, looking for and seeking opportunities to influence them. You listen. You keep your ear to the ground. Memories, they never depreciate. I love it. How often do you just recycle all the memories? By the way, we're going to deal with that one on the fifth session, the last one. How do you leave a legacy? Memories they never depreciate. Sharing all the stories of God's faithfulness in your own life and the life of your family. You know, just stories of God's faithfulness. A simple story that I love to tell my kids. When Vicky and I were in seminary, she had a miscarriage. So she had to have a D&C, and I had no money to pay for it. You go through seminary, you're poor, and you don't have anything or whatever. And I didn't know how God was going to provide. So I go to my mailbox. Vicky's in the hospital. And would you believe there was a check in my mailbox for the exact amount that we needed to pay the hospital bill? I'm still stunned by that. I still recall that as if it just happened tomorrow. So why wouldn't God take care of my needs today? And why wouldn't he take care of my kids' needs as we trust them to him and intercede for them? I'll never forget it. That story never ends as life comes back to you. The guy who I found out, it was an anonymous check, but I found out later who had given it to me. This is like 10 years later. That man's son was in our church 25 years down the road. And I told him the story about how God used his dad meet a need that I have. And his eyes got as big as saucers, couldn't believe how God provided through his dad. So the story has many different ripples. It goes out in all kinds of ways. You with me? Anything else you run through your mind? What kind of issues would your kids have and how are you going to be involved proactively pressing? Remember Philippians 3, I press on. I want to press with my adult kids. I want to press with my grandkids. Let me talk about the second question here. What about prodigals and wayward children? Let me just be very candid here. How many of us would have kids who you would say they're not where we wish they would be spiritually? Maybe a third to a half of us. You know, you talk about ways to lean in on life. How do you pray for those kids? How do you look for ways to keep building relationships with them in all their struggles, whether it's in a, it could be anything. How do you help? How do you get involved? How do you look for ways? How do you keep your ear to the ground? One of the books, Ruth Graham Bell, or Ruth Bell Graham, actually, wrote the book on prodigals growing out of her son's life, Franklin. Remember when he wandered way off, you know, as an evangelist. And by the way, you're always proud of your kids. It doesn't matter where they go in life. Billy and Ruth would have been just incredibly grateful for any and all of their kids in whatever struggles they had. And she wrote a book, you know, Loving Prodigals. And she tells the story about how God works. And you, the stories never end. You don't know how God will end, how the story will end. It may be like in my mother's case, she's in heaven. And she watches from heaven to see how God will answer all the prayers for my younger brother. I don't know how long it'll take. But you lean into God like Job, always praying, always making sacrifice, always blessing. You know, when people are at odds with you, with my brother, it's hard. How can I encourage my brother on his level without expecting any spiritual conversation with him? Does he know that I love him? Do I say it a lot? Do I go out of my way to encourage him where he's at in the stage of his life? Any comments, questions? Anything you're sitting there saying, I wish he'd say something about this? He says, I love you too, Hal. And it's really heartfelt. But he has no interest in spiritual things. But I've got to find ways to engage him. You know, I care about him. But I, you know, there's no way to interact with him spiritually. What about grandkids? Now, you could go think your way through this entire list again. And again, it doesn't matter if your grandkids, my grandkids are young. They're 9, 7, 4, and 3, and 3 and 2. 3 and 4 months, I guess. Anyways, even my 4-month-old little guy, how do you relate to little people like this? It's just awesome, isn't it? I love it. But it's that way all of life. Do I relate to all these kids the same as they go through life? You remember... Let me go back to this right here. You know, as your grandkids grow, as your adult kids grow and go through new stages, are you changing? Are you looking for ways to keep changing so that you don't get stuck and go into a decline and build walls around your kids? So what are you going to do with your grandkids? It's more caught than taught. How do you get with them? It's a real challenge. We got 4 of them who live in California. You know, and I'm sure many of you, your grandkids live somewhere else, or even if they live here. How do you get next to them? How do you expose yourself to them? What do you do? The kinds of things that build these kinds of relationships. How do some of you do it? Let me hear from some. How do you, yes? Go to all their games. And you know, I'm going to say that's blessing them, and it sets the table to have conversations when time comes because they know you care. And one of the things I want to encourage us all to do, we go to all these things and we should, but let's take advantage of the relationship so that we can have those conversations with them when the time comes. You get them one-on-one, you take them to lunch, you take them out to breakfast, or you do something special with them, take them on a trip where you got them all by yourself and you can listen and learn who they are and what they're about and what their gifts are and how might God use them. I dream about them as my grandkids grow up. I still dream about that with my 3 grown kids. Life changes. It's always changing. You don't know what's going to be around next year. Life is always changing. You never step into the same river twice. You're different and the river's different. Your kids are different. Somebody else. What do you do with your grandkids? How do you earn your way into their lives? Keep in touch. What do you do? Yeah. That's why I got an iPhone, so I could see their faces in California and look into their eyes and say, I love you.
They all text.
They all text. Do you all text? And if they're far away, Bill, you have to be proactive in getting topics on the table sometimes. And by the way, this last election would have been a great opportunity to listen to your kids and grandkids, depending how, I mean, wherever they were, if they're old enough to interact with what's happening in our culture. And we'll talk about this in 2 weeks. I mean, we have all kinds of opportunity and open doors to talk about a zillion things because they're all over us in our culture. You could ask your grandkids, what do you think about the election, without ever tipping your hand about what you thought. Maybe they know, maybe they don't know. And I'm surprised at how few families really tried to talk. I mean, what you always hear is, stay away from politics because it's divisive. Well, it can be, but if you're listening and want to learn, why do you think the way you think? You can ask your adult kids, why do you like this person? Why do you like that person? Why do you not like that person? And how do you think on your feet as a believer in a world that's chaotic? And all I'm wanting to do, I just want to learn. I just want to hear. I just want to listen. And if they give you a chance, you can share your own personal story about how all that happens and why you think the way you think. But I got to move on here quick. Again, with your grandkids, remember Job. Here's one, and we'll talk about this in 2 weeks. We talk about our own grown kids, our own grandkids. How many surrogate adult children are in your church here at Hunter's Glen? And how many surrogate grandkids are in your church? Can you imagine the ministry that's right here in front of us, right next to us, with kids all over the place, and young adult kids? I mean, my kids are 38, 37, and 34. How many 38, 37, 34-year-old kids are in this church that Vicki and I could adopt and befriend and be a surrogate parent to, and maybe their parents live somewhere else? You know, I can be involved. We all can be involved like that. Now, I want to give you four roles that I think God has for parents. And on your paper, these are not original with me. There is a ministry in Arizona called Family Matters. It's led by Tim and Darcy Kimmel. They're friends of mine, and they've written some powerful things. And what I'm about to go through in just a few minutes here is right off their website, and I would encourage you to go to it. Tim says there are four things God wants you to be as a parent, and think about these to your adult kids and your grandkids. Number one, God wants you to be a blessing giver. Just make a little note. How often do you bless your kids? Keep a tablet, have a running list to remind yourself of how little you bless them, or maybe I'm doing a good job, or how often you bless them. A parent is a blessing giver, praying with them, encouraging them, valuing them, celebrating accomplishments, going to their games, encouraging them through struggles, communicating unconditional love always. How do you do that without words? Or without communication, somehow you have to do it. Physically, providing them a home where they're always welcome, providing homes or arms where they're always safe, providing an atmosphere where they're always accepted. Number two, God wants you to be a legacy maker. What kind of legacy are you living? Live a life of integrity, bringing the best out in those around you. Make decisions on eternal principle, perspective. Leaving good tracks for your grandchildren to follow. I love number three. God wants you to be a torch bearer. This is critical in our day and age, to carry the torch high for Jesus. And he uses Psalm 78 there, 18. Even though I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Be a torchbearer of the gospel to your grandchildren in your community. Vicki and I had the privilege of being involved in our two grandsons' conversion. You know, and they were baptized this past summer. And it was just awesome. Sharing the gospel. Make sure your grandkids hear the truth. Trust the Holy Spirit to draw them. Demonstrate a consistent concern and compassion of unsaved people. Do you model that? Do your grandkids see your concern to reach others for the gospel? Of moral living in an immoral world, take a bold yet gracious stand on moral issues. Show them how to flourish spiritually in a hostile culture. Teach your grandchildren to develop discernment as you help them evaluate their world. Powerful things. Number four, and finally, God wants you to be a standard setter. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no wickedness in him." Be a standard setter in your life so your kids will always see the power of God and how your life is anchored in the eternal word of God. That's our mission in our family to finish well. We have a lot of years to go yet, don't we? We have a lot of time to keep working on this. And by the way, time keeps moving, so get at it. Any closing thoughts?
We've got to have this 30 years ago.
Well, you know, you can communicate it to your adult kids and your grandkids, Maurice and Billy, and they'll have it 30 years ago. I mean, I think about that. What can you give your own kids and grandkids that they'll remember you by? How do I do this stuff with my kids? How do I sit down with them and go over this stuff with them so they know what we're about? Anybody else? Yes. We do. That's a big cultural issue. I want to address that. But let me tell you, what's best taught is first caught. So what do my adult kids they see in their dad's life in terms of discipline? I would like my adult kids and my grandkids to understand that their dad, their grandfather, has deep disciplines in his life that make him who he is. And one of the things you and I want to do is live a disciplined life so at least our kids see that in us. Then how do you talk to them about that? That's a challenge. And they're raising their kids in a world that has lost discipline as well. So our job is cut out for us. One last comment. Go ahead. Oh, you're right. So how do we share our stories that will help them? Yes. Somebody had their hand up right here.
Take your grandchild to church.
That's right. Take them to church. Take them to Sunday school. And talk to them about the things of God. Okay, next week we need to close. I want to talk about how is God going to use me in the next, let me call it the encore of your life. Most of us, if you're retired or if you're thinking about retiring, what are you going to do after you retire? What is your encore? You know, you go to a concert, you want everybody to come out to do an encore. Okay, so you do your career. What's your encore ministry? How does God wire you so that the next phase of your life is as critically essential and successful as the main part of your life, you'd say. You with me? Lord, thanks for this night. Keep teaching us about yourself and how you parent us so that we can in turn be encouragers of the family you've entrusted to us. Bless the rest of this evening and our week, I pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Thank you.